Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Wow, what a thrill. Here in studio, our exclusive interview with Duke Nukem. Duke, great to have you.
Give me back my son.
Is that from the Mel Gibson movie Ransom?
All righty then.
Okay, doesn't really answer my question. Mr. Nukem, how did you approach returning to video games after such a long hiatus?
Look out, it's time to suck my own dick.
Mr. Nukem, you just took your pants off.
I touched my cock to my eyeball.
We play repeatedly delayed first-person shooter Duke Nukem Forever this week on How Did This Get Played?
Oh, yeah!
Tonight, you dine in hell.
Welcome to How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest video games of all time. I'm Nick Weiger alongside Heather Ann Campbell.
I'm Heather Ann Campbell.
And our producer, Matt Appledaca.
I'm Matt Appledaca.
Wow. And they're talking like that because this week's game is Duke Nukem Forever, an FPS released in 2011 for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. Violent, vulgar shooter, lots of crude comedy. You play as Duke Nukem himself in an attempt to rescue Earth's babes from an alien invasion.
Wait, that was the goal?
Yeah. Earth's babes get kidnapped by the aliens.
I thought you were getting revenge.
Well, you're getting revenge for the theft of the babes.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's the aliens are actually trying to get revenge.
The aliens are getting revenge on you because you kicked their asses back in the original game.
Oh, I misinterpreted a core event of the opening sequence.
Oh, boy, so you were probably lost. So the main thing that people know Duke Nukem Forever for is having, for its development cycle taking forever, as became a cliche joke. It was the longest development cycle in video game history, announced in 1997, originally meant to be released in 1999, and then switched engines platforms, finally was released almost 15 years later. And to break down this piece of shit, from NBC Superstore and the podcast Voyage to the Stars and Jam Space, Colton Dunn is here. Hi, Colton.
What's up? Let's get 'em.
Your guys' Duke Nukem voices are all very good. The problem is you're like having original thoughts instead of just reciting lines from other movies.
I'm going to take a piss.
Colton, we know you're an FPS. Heather and I know you're an FPS fan.
Yeah.
What are like your favorites of the genre?
Obviously Halo is, my game. It's always right. What I go back to. That's where all my buddies are, so I can always hop on and do that. Big Destiny player for a long time, mm-hmm. But then I had a kid, and had to work. So Destiny became a little harder to keep up with.
Right.
You know, all the kind of work you got to put into it. You know, the, you know, Call of Duties, you know, anytime there's a gun and you're shooting somebody, I like it. Fortnite, Apex Legends, you know, all that stuff.
Are you, it sounds like you're more of a multiplayer guy than single player.
I love multiplayer.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do single players, but, you know, what ends up happening while I'm, you know, if I log on and start playing a single player game is I start getting messages from my friends to like go play the other game.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go play.
Right.
Friend? What is a friend?
Oh, they're just kind of people who hang out with you, and talk to you, and tell you you're cool, and you tell them they're cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know, like how Matt and me are.
Wow.
Don't speak to me. One thing that, because I always get intimidated because I'm not good at FPSs. Like, my aim is terrible and I get like kind of motion sick playing them. And so, like, yeah. I'm very, like, I used to play some like seriously, like Half-Life 1 online back in the day. I played some like, and I just was always like, I'm shitty. And then people like talk shit to me. Wait, and I always find that intimidating.
Your problem with first person shooters is that you're bad at video games.
I'm bad at this genre.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I don't think I'm bad. Like, you know, I can handle certain genres well. Like, even some twitchy genres I can be okay at. But first person, like, when I have to get precise with, like, mouse aim or, like, the analog stick aim, it just doesn't work. It doesn't click for me.
Yeah, that could be tough. You know, I'm fairly good. You know what I mean? Especially for my age, I think I'm pretty good. You know, obviously the, you know, reflexes of like kids in those games.
Right.
It makes it really tough. What I actually do, whether or not it works or not, what I always do is I speed up my turn speed.
Okay.
So that's one way that I try to compensate for being an old man. I've always been fairly proficient with
that. I used to play Halo with Colton years, like in the 360 days.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great. It was great fun. It was great times.
Right.
But I was nowhere near as good as he was.
Right. But you both play, and I know, Heather, you've played a lot of online games of different sorts. Like, how do you both deal with trash talking and trolling, or do you, like, revel in that?
I mean, they kind of, it doesn't really happen, at least for me, it doesn't really happen that much anymore because they don't have the sort of open mic, so you're not really like talking to the other people. Maybe somebody will send you a message, but, you know, I just FYI, if anybody plays against Captain Dope in a game, I never open up a message, so you could send me a message all you want. I'm not leaving the game to go read whatever message that you sent me. But yeah, I mean, trash talk was I wish there would be more, you know, I wish that they would let it open up. Well, I mean, for me, cause I'm an adult, like I'm not going to be oh no, what'd they say that about me? Like, I understand for like kids who are getting bullied, it's not cool, but I wish maybe there was you could like have an adult check on it or something and turn it back on. So then, cause I love swearing at people and,
yeah, Nikki Wuss.
Yeah. Oh.
You want like noob. You want like settings for like inner, like it's like easy breezy conversations and then
yeah,
it's like
I would love
a little
that.
Trash talk yes. And then it's like open season.
And then it's like you're gay. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. What's this one?
Yeah, I just like if because I don't love even when I was playing Hearthstone, and Hearthstone doesn't even have, it's a card game, and it doesn't even have, like, actual, like, you can send someone a message, but there's no chat in-game. There's just emotes. But people control you with the emotes. Like, they can be beating you and just be like, sorry. Yeah. And, like someone does that to me enough, and it's just, like, I'm mad all week.
I used
and
to do
like,
that in a Settlers
game.
Of Catan Xbox game that had, little emotes that you could do to people.
Right.
You know they just put Catan on Switch.
I know you told me about it, and it makes me want to go get a Switch.
It's fucking great.
Wait, so are you guys board gamers at all?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. I've never gotten into board games. What do you play? Do you play Catan primarily, or?
You know what? I would love to play Catan, but nobody wants to play with me.
Oh, wow.
Including most of my friends and my family.
I would play.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. We could play again, for sure. But, yeah, my wife definitely won't play. We played one time.
I played.
And, And we got towards the end of the game and she wouldn't trade me something. So I traded all of my resources to another person so that they could win instead of her.
Oh, my God.
So we won't be playing that game anymore. but I love the pandemic legacy games. Those are really fun board games. All the legacy games are great.
What goes on in like a pandemic legacy?
Well, they're sort of games that kind of continue on. So, like, think about played, like, a game of Monopoly, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end, you had all these hotels and all this stuff, and you guys finished the game, and it's like, all right, okay, game's done. When you came back to play the next game, the board would still be the same. And the story kind of would continue somehow.
That's really cool.
It just becomes a hotel management sim.
Yes, exactly.
It's like Dungeons & Dragons, sort of, where the campaign continues.
It's very much like D&D campaign.
Oh, fuck, that sounds great.
That does sound fun. That does sound up my alley.
And you just need friends.
You just need four friends that you can play with, you know.
Got it.
Okay, well, I'm doing the math in here. And
I think
we all have a thing at the same time that you want to do that.
You mentioned having a kid. Has being a dad changed your perspective on games at all, besides just you having less time for it?
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
Because I'm also somebody, I grew up, definitely part of like this TV generation. And the whole time everybody was saying like, you can't just let kids sit and watch TV. You can't let them do that. And that's all that I did. Was sit and watch TV. I think I turned out just fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe my eating habits could probably be better. But I think that at some point, you know, if, my daughter wants to pick up a controller and start playing, I think, you know, finding age appropriate games for her, I have no issue with that.
Did she watch you?
She has come in and actually just seen the controllers and like wanted to do stuff. So I'll like put up, you know, have like, you know, just a couple like silly games that are, kind of on my Xbox. So I'll like put those on and like play it and then give her a controller that's not even on. And she's like, I'm doing it, you know, so.
She's she's dumb.
she's a moron.
So did you guys play because Duke Nukem began in the 90s, there were a couple of platformers, which I think, you know, some people who are really into PC games played, but they were a little bit more obscure. Duke Nukem 3D was the breakout hit. Did anyone in here play Duke Nukem 3D at the time of release back in 1996?
I mean, I saw it at somebody's house.
Okay.
You know, I never had it at my place. But
right.
I do remember watching somebody play and being like, oh, wow, crazy.
I played it. I played it a lot.
Yeah.
I played it. I played, you know, Wolfenstein, Duke Nukem, Quake 2, Riven.
Right.
Rise of the Triad. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember all of them. And then there were like all the mods for all that shit.
They made another one, which they reference in this game. What was it called? The Shadow Warrior? Was that what it was called?
I didn't play that one.
Hexen.
Hexen!
Yeah, Riven, I think, was the Myst sequel. Hexen, I think, was the...
That's what I'm thinking.
What about Heretic
Doom
sequel.
Wasn't there a game called Doom?
Yeah, there was Doom.
That's
Doom.
A game that I played. I know.
Doom 2.
Yeah, Doom was huge. So Duke Nukem Forever was kind of like, or Duke Nukem, rather, 3D, or the original was kind of a response to Doom in terms of just like having more of a sense of fun, where these games were kind of a little bit more grim, and this was the one where the main character wasn't faceless. He had a personality. I love Duke Nukem 3D, the original. Like, it's like, I don't know if it's tonally it's aged well, but like it was very fun at the time. There are things all the environment deformation. You could blow up a building. You could like interact with the environment you couldn't do at the time.
There was like a part where you could like press spacebar to throw money at a girl, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Shake it, baby.
Oh, hey, there it is. That was pretty good. Yeesh.
He was quoting Duke though, so it wasn't as good as our like original take.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't have an original thought there. But yeah, so that was the original, and that was a huge hit in 1996. And so in 1997, they announced Duke Nukem Forever. So for context, in this year, the biggest games were like GoldenEye, Final Fantasy VII, Fallout 1. And then it was in development hell for over a decade with 3D Realms. Eventually was finished and released by Gearbox in 2011. And when it was released that year, the biggest games, Skyrim, Batman Arkham City, Gears of War 3. So like 2 to 3 generations of gaming happened during this game's like tortured development cycle.
Was Skyrim really that big a game?
Yeah, it was
Skyrim
big.
Was
yeah,
huge.
Skyrim was
yeah.
huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Skyrim was Skyrim was one of the games I played that wasn't a multiplayer game.
Wow.
I played a ton of it.
Yeah, gigantic game.
I had no
Skyrim
idea.
Skyrim was the game that for some reason, I talked to somebody and they were like, oh yeah, you know, the more, you know, the way Skyrim works is like the more you do stuff, the better you get at it. And I was like, oh, so like if you like jumping a lot, you'll get like be able to jump higher and get more agility. And they're like, yeah, you'll be, it'll increase. Well, I didn't realize that. For some reason, I internalized that to mean if I just kept jumping, that eventually my guy could fly. So I'd just be like playing the game and just constantly jumping and being like, all right, so at some point, this is going to really take off and my guy's just going to fucking go. And this was like, that's not how it
works. That's like in this game, in Duke Nukem Forever, I got one upgrade bonus from playing a slot machine. And I was like, oh, well, if I get the maximum jackpot, I must get a maximum upgrade. And I played the fucking slot machine for 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Just like absentmindedly pressing A, like being like, and then finally got another jackpot and it just gave me nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like that kind of a thing.
That's,
yeah. I think that's just kind of the system they have for the game. And, you know, Colton, you mentioned Halo and being a fan of it. They certainly lifted some things from Halo, which was, a revolutionary game franchise that launched and had a couple sequels in the time this game was being developed. But the ego bar is pretty akin to the Halo shield. That's the thing you can increase the max at by doing things like lifting weights or signing autographs or playing slots or making basketball shots or pissing.
Yeah.
If you take a piss
buddy,
in the toilet.
I pissed for so long. And I was like, no way. Is this really something I can just sit and do?
Yeah.
And it's just like cool. And everywhere I'd go, I was like, oh, go to his house. There's a bathroom. Can I piss here too? Wow. I pissed in every urinal. I turn on every shower every time I saw a shower.
It seems like Duke never hydrates, but he can constantly piss.
Oh, yeah. Kind of,
I guess that's his superpower.
He does drink beer.
Yeah, he drinks
beer. He does drink
constantly.
Beer, yeah. No. But he would just be getting dehydrated. His urine would gradually get thicker and thicker.
Thicker?
Oh, there's a lot of water in beer.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's a lot of water in beer.
Yeah, I guess there's a good amount of water.
Does that get thick?
Big drinker, this guy. You know, when you go out drinking, your piss gets all thick. Oh, I got that thick piss from drinking. Ouch. It's coming out like syrup today.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Hey, buddy, I want to tell you about a new podcast you need to listen to. Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect explores anime and the way it shows up throughout our world. Hosts Nicholas Friedman, LaAlec Murray, and Leah President discuss the latest in news, updates, and deep dives on the shows and pop culture you love. From breaking down the anime awards to analyzing Godzilla Minus One to discussions with musicians like Yeji. Stay up to date on the latest in anime with Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. Hey, for me, I'm interested in hearing them talk about One Piece, because I've been getting into One Piece myself. And they're also talking about The Boy and the Heron and Studio Ghibli movies. Things that I love. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth they get into. They do some gaming content. Kaiju number 8, that's a manga a lot of people like. That is turning into an anime. We'll see how that adaptation is. So listen now, wherever you get your podcast, Crunchyroll presents The Anime Effect.
I want to go back and explain what the ego meter is for people who don't play video games.
Yes.
So normally you have like a health bar and you run out of health and you die. In Duke Nukem, he never takes damage. His ego takes a bruising.
Yeah.
And so the ego meter would just be like slow. If you get shot a whole bunch, it's like his ego takes a hit. And only if it goes all the way to zero does he give up on the game.
I think he falls down and his glasses break.
But in theory, he's not dead. He's just his ego. And then if you duck behind cover, then your ego replenishes because you feel awesome when you're hiding.
Right.
And you can like do certain things that'll give an instant like a, I believe the like whatever fatalities that they have in there. If you do that, it'll instantly.
Is that true?
Yeah. Charge your ego meter.
I fucking barely pay attention to that shit.
Yeah, some of the melee attacks if you run up to a guy who's like, about to die. And so like the other thing they lifted from Halo, which was not a thing in the original Duke Nukem 3D, is you've got like a 2-weapon limit, which was expanded to 4 in a patch on the PC version. But it is like, for a game where you get like lots of cool weapons, it's kind of it's kind of a bummer because you just want to play around with like the freeze ray and shit, but then you just don't have the inventory room for them because you got to make sure you got something that's a little bit more practical. It's kind of a bummer just from a fun standpoint.
They lifted a third thing from Halo, which is that you see the power armor midway through the game, and they're like, hey, do you want to put on this armor? And it's clearly the Halo armor. And Duke Nukem goes, no, power armor's for pussies.
Yeah. There are some not so veiled slams at other games. I thought it was the power armor.
Well, that's really bold.
Yeah. Considering this game sucks, then they're just throwing haymakers at other games. You're playing there's a puzzle involving a valve you're turning in some pipes, and Duke goes, I hate valve puzzles. Reference to Valve software. And then there's later on he says, Duke 1, Gears nothing.
Really? My God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I liked it when he said, what kind of sick motherfucker picks up wet feces?
Referring to himself. Because Duke can grab shit out of a toilet and then use it to like throw.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting.
Why wouldn't he say shit in that sentence?
I don't know.
He says sick motherfucker, but he says wet feces.
I feel like it's
so
like
weirdly
it's,
dorky.
It's like online choice. Humor. Like it's funny to say like feces. Like I feel like people think it's funny to say feces.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Speaking of online humor, there's a lot of just like memes they just do, or just like jokes from other things. They like a joke they have very early on is they just do that joke from South Park about like step one, step two, step three, profit. They just like redo that exact same joke.
That's from South Park?
Yeah, it's a South Park thing that later became a meme. Underwear Gnomes, I think, was the origin of that. They do a Leroy Jenkins thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess let's just kind of like talk through how the game progresses, because we mentioned piss, and that is how the game opens.
Oh, yeah.
It starts, and we're from Duke's perspective, we're watching him piss into a urinal and say, this is taking forever.
Yeah.
But also, by the way, he says that immediately upon pissing. Yeah. He's got like 3 drops of piss out, and he says, this is taking forever. I don't know what his expectations are.
I think it's a reference to how long for the game to come.
Yeah, it's definitely a meta reference to the game's development cycle, but I feel like his own piss should go on for a little longer before he drops that line. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense in context.
Yeah, I feel like the game wasn't nearly violent or funny enough to justify his constant attitude. Like, if literally everything was killable and everything exploded,
right,
then he'd be like, I'd be like, this guy can fucking say whatever he wants.
Right.
But it was kind of surprisingly tame.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, like.
You mean just in terms of, well, I don't know. Because, like, there are some parts of it that are pretty grim and gruesome, like some H.R. Giger shit. Like the later level where there's all the women trapped in the fucking, like, a crazy bio shit. It's like in the Duke Dome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just like a nightmare.
But they're trapped, but they don't explode. I feel like
they kind of explode.
I feel like Technocop was grosser. Was more like grody.
Sure.
But these were like just big, like triangle shaped chunks that exploded and you shot them.
There isn't a death animation in this that is as gruesome and gnarly as exists in Technocop, the Genesis game that we played a few weeks back. But I mean, few things in games are that gruesome. That's a really grisly animation. Just to give us a sense of how long this game was in development, Duke Nukem Forever, the title, I found it, is a reference to the 1995 movie Batman Forever.
Oh my God.
So the entire Christopher Nolan trilogy came out, and then this came out afterward. Or I guess this was just before Rise of the Dark Knight, or The Dark Knight Rises, rather. So the game starts. Duke is taking a piss, saying this is taking forever. You pick up a shit we mentioned. So you replay the end of Duke Nukem 3D, basically, with upgrade graphics. This is honestly probably one of the best parts of the game, just this little boss fight you have in the opening, and then you kick his eyeball through a field goal, goalposts. And then... and then we find that Duke is getting top while playing his own game.
You know, I want to say that in the opening, it's demonstrative of how little creativity went into the current Duke Nukem game.
Right.
Because, like, killing an alien on a football field is, like, cool and representational and interesting and creative. Like, you hadn't seen that shit in a video game. And I not really very often since.
No.
But you go from that sequence to, like, locked-in hallways and casino floors. There's nothing, like, fucking batshit from that point forward.
Yeah.
Right. Because basically, Duke owns his own casino. He lives in a penthouse suite of this casino that he owns. But, like, it's, like, a pretty drab casino.
He's Donald Trump.
I mean, it has a television studio in it.
He has a television studio on the ground floor, yeah, I guess.
I gotta go downstairs to record a late show, which is then fucking canceled.
Yeah, then as soon as you get there, they're like, we're not doing the show, these aliens.
Right.
What the hell? I gotta figure out what's going on.
So in this world that he's, like, the events of Duke Nukem 3D took place 12 years ago, he's gotten rich and famous off of it, he's gonna appear on this talk show, the talk show gets canceled because of an alien attack. This is, like, about the point where there's this, Matt, we were talking about this before we recorded,
that's
there's
right.
the Christian Bale reference you stumble upon.
I have that right here. Let's see.
So okay. When he comes from backstage,
right.
Yes.
When he's going to investigate the aliens, he comes across two people doing this.
Oh, is this the guys arguing?
Yeah.
Fucking amateur. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to do a scene with Johnny on the show, and there you are wandering through the set. You never stop to wonder if it might be distracting with you walking through. Do you want me to trash your mics? Would you like me to trash your mics? You don't fucking get it. The scene's done. Now the rest of the crew left for Duke Burger, and my moment with Johnny is over. Thanks to the aliens, I'll never get that moment back. You fucking amateur. We're done. We're done professionally, man. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. But you don't get it. Fuck.
This is really funny because I didn't get a chance to realize that because I walked into the room and immediately beat this guy up.
It's just so crazy because, like, I can't remember what year that rant took place because when did that movie come out? That was, like, probably just a couple years before.
Terminator Salvation, I think it was one, yeah.
At the point that this game came out, that was a dated reference.
It was already a dated reference, but I think it's the newest reference in this game.
It's like the most current one.
Most current one.
Oh, my God.
And it is, like, that... I don't know. That's like the level of kind of comedy that you get throughout this game. It's just like references to other things.
I just want to be clear, though. Yeah. We did kind of skip past it a little bit, but he's getting his dick sucked by two women.
He's getting domed
by sisters.
By his twin girlfriends.
Sisters that, like, it starts out and it's very like, you hear, like, slurp, 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 and then they, like, pop up and they're like, hey, that was fun. You know, time's up, Duke.
Duke's canceled. And it's the Wholesome Twins,
which is supposed
to be analogous to the Olsen Twins, but Nick pointed out that they're dressed like Britney Spears in her first video.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
That's right.
Yeah, their wardrobe is from the Hit Me Baby One More Time video.
I thought the weirdest thing was that their heads and necks moved like some kind of joint.
Yeah.
Like instead of turning their head, it was like the hooked turn of a snake's face.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's fucked. or like a loose head on a mannequin and you just kind of shake it.
they put all their animation engine into, like, boob jiggle, and then everything else, like, seems super duper unnatural.
Yeah.
It's the way all the characters move is very odd.
Duke Nukem was the first time you walk up to a mirror in the first game. Duke Nukem 3D was the first time I remember that you could go up to a mirror and see yourself. And see
your I think in a, yeah, a first person shooter. Yeah,
which
that's
was
what I remember
pretty fucking
too.
Crazy. Yeah. I like that so much of this game is mirrors.
Right.
that's still impressive.
Yeah.
He's also significantly shorter than most other NPCs. Like if you can get into a mirror next to a woman or like a dude, he's shorter than
that. Damn, I should get some lifts for my shoes.
One of the NPCs even says, I thought he'd be taller.
Really?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
My dick's too heavy. It's dragging me towards the earth. It's hurting my spine.
So then we kind of get into the story for whatever it is. You go to this talk show. Duke gets a call from the president and the general. It's just a generic president guy.
But right before that too, in order to get to his observatory area, which is this is very weird. He leaves the studio, which is on the basement floor of this place.
Right.
He gets in an elevator, goes all the way up to the top. And then he has to take a picture of a fan sitting on a throne so that then he can sit on the throne and then go back down to the bottom of the building.
It's an impractical layout. Yeah, like the throne is like the secret entrance into his little bat cave or whatever, like Duke cave, I guess you'd call it.
Duke also has a big... It's not, what is it? It's not big enough to be a pool, but it's too large to be a bathtub in his living room.
He just has some standing water
just
in his
like
living
some
room.
Standing water.
Mosquito farm.
It's strange. It's things like, I don't know if that boosts your ego either, taking the picture of the fan. I don't think it does.
It doesn't boost your ego. It teaches you no mechanic in the game that you need to know. It's ridiculous.
It's a delay.
It's just a delay.
It's like they went through it. They're like, fuck, we got to add like stuff to make this longer. Because the game itself is only 4 or 5 hours long. Like, it's a short game considering that it took... 12 fucking years.
And I spent 10 minutes trying to fight that guy in the throne. I thought, well, clearly I have to beat this guy up because I just beat that other dude up for no reason.
It is the kind of thing because, you know, like, I feel like the what's established in Duke Nukem 3D is you could do kind of that kind of shit where it's like you could kind of break puzzles by like just like, I'll fucking just kill this guy instead of figuring out what he wants. And like, this doesn't really have that same sense of fun.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. My favorite part in this opening sequence is when you go down to do the talk show and there's like a mom with a little son.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, can you sign our book?
Oh, yeah.
And then they give you control over Duke's hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's poor control.
It's horrible control. So the swastika that I drew looked ridiculous.
I love the idea, though, that in game they're like, oh, my God, it's Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
And then they stare at him for 45 seconds while he
That was there when they were developing it. They were like, this is our mirrors, guys. This is it. This is going to be it.
Yeah. Because you can actually do that earlier in the game.
Right, on the whiteboard.
Right. And while you're also doing that horribly, there's like background vocals of a guy going, wow, cool. That looks good. Good plan, Duke. Like commenting. And on that time I drew a penis.
Duke starts fighting the alien hordes. And here's what I would say is that, like, the combat is mostly okay, but there's so many sections of, like, platforming and just, like, and turrets. You know, we mentioned before we started recording, there's just so many sections that just, like, really bog down this kind of throwback shooter gameplay that could just be a lot of fun if it was just that.
Yeah, you don't... For a game where... That used to be called Duke Nukem 3D, and you could go anywhere and move around.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this fucking game is locking you into a single position where you can't strafe, you can't move.
Right.
You're just like fucking target practice.
Right.
Yeah. It sucks.
Duke is fighting through everyone. Oh, he gets shrunk at one point in here.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. This part is fucking... Here's the thing, this platforming sucks when you're shrunk. Like, it's really super duper unfun. But then it's also fucking disgusting because the women are horny for little Duke. Like, tiny action figure sized Duke gets these women all horned up.
Here we go. I got a clip right here.
These are your two girlfriends.
You're so tiny and cute. I could carry you around in my pocket like a little pet.
your hot pocket.
I mean, the point of being this small is just to look up her skirt.
I guess so.
That's what this person in the playthrough is doing.
I did, and there's nothing.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you're going to set that up in a game where there are, like, full-tittied aliens and tits on a wall that you can slap.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you render a bush? Yeah. or a shaven bush.
Thong. Sure.
Like any fucking thing. It's
camel
just,
tone.
It's just two legs that jam up into a pelvis with nothing.
Yeah. Just got a high five.
Why? Why did I do that?
Yeah, just an endless abyss underneath a miniskirt. And it is like, I don't know. I was extra unsettled by, like the boob wall is obviously upsetting, but I was extra unsettled by the idea of these women. And there's another woman earlier. There's a mom who wants to put Duke in her vagina.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Oh, I know exactly where I'd put you, Duke. I'd put your whole body in my vagina.
I don't think I could breathe. I'm sorry, I'd asphyxiate.
Sounds great.
Well, I'll give it a shot. Let's breathe. Is this fun? I don't think this is fun for me.
I feel like once he got, because he gets shrunk for no reason, right?
Yes.
He just suddenly is shrunk. I wish that the entire, like, he had looked down, seen the tiny, tiny penis that he now had, and the ego meter had just started draining.
Yes,
and so
you
had to, like, run.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's fun. And to get big.
Right.
Like, otherwise, why fucking make him small? Mm. What was the fucking... Also, you have to drive a remote control car?
Yes. Oh, that part sucks so bad. The vehicles actually are maybe my least favorite thing in this
game. Fucking, like, it feels like a bunch of people had a spreadsheet and they were just like, I don't know, like, what if he was small for part of it? Yeah. And what if he drove a car for part of it? Yeah. What if he could only carry two guns? Okay.
Yeah, the shrink ray was in Duke Nukem 3D, and it was kind of like, it was like a fun, cool, like new novelty gimmick weapon, but it was like fun to shrink enemies and then you could step on them. Here it's like you shrink yourself and then it's just like, well, what am I, this isn't, what's the power fantasy here? You know what I mean? Like,
you can look up their skirts.
I guess so, yeah, but you can't even do that.
I got glitched into death several times during the driving sequence.
What version were you playing?
PS3.
You're playing Colton. Were you playing the Xbox?
Xbox. The Xbox backwards compatibility.
I was on PC. So yeah, and I think the PC version is the best version. It's been patched, so it's a little less glitchy than the console version.
I was driving the car, and the car tipped over, and all of a sudden Duke went, "Oh!"
His heart stopped.
Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries, while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I So then after he's fighting through the casino, he's aliens are abducting women, his pop star girlfriends get abducted. So he has to make his way to the Duke Dome, which is where the section, this is the, he has a, oh, there's this interaction you have with these guys out on top of a shipping container.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So much of the game, I don't even...
It's just waiting. It's just watching dialogue.
Yeah, it's watch. Yeah, so when you have a dialogue sequence, it's not like run and gun. It's not like a dude's talking to you like Gears style while you're fucking making your way through a horde of enemies. You're literally like standing. Like there's a part where you're like meet the general in front of an elevator and he fucking talks for like 20 minutes.
So much exposition.
Just talks. Yeah. And nothing. He's like, wow, Duke, I'm really sorry about this. This was a big misunderstanding. And like, you're just like, you are a human man with a gun extended and you're just like walking down the hallway. Like, you can't kill anything.
No, yeah, you can't kill those. It would be nice if there was, like, even just, like, a Duke quip button that you could just hit to just have him say, like...
Shut up.
Yeah.
Milk was a bad choice. You know?
Just whatever he wanted to rattle off just to kill time in those sections. Actually, we shouldn't... I don't know if we've played any of Duke's actual voice acting by John St. John.
Okay. Yes, we have.
Do we have a Duke soundboard or anything?
Yeah, I have this right here.
Okay, here we go.
So I'm just going to pick some classics here.
Not my babes. Not in my town. Who's your daddy now?
Oh, boy.
Suck it down.
So some of these are from the original game and some of them are from the new game.
That's one dead space marine.
Hey.
Come get some.
All right.
That's not cool.
What's that? What's...
If it bleeds, I can kill it.
Oh, that one's in this one.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hail to the king, baby.
Mm-hmm. Just a line from Army of Darkness.
Balls of steel.
Yeah. I mean... So,
have a taste of my ball.
click on the one next to it.
My balls, your face.
That's like
I think the have a taste of my ball is when he jams a wrecking ball. He slams a wrecking ball into the Duke Dome. I think that's when that quip is. It's uttered.
It's not satire. The thing is, these kinds of lines would be in a Grand Theft Auto game, but it would be like, and now let's interview the dumbest fucker on earth. Yeah. And then you like fucking talk to the guy. This is like serious. I mean, it's satirically serious, but it's serious. It's like a power fantasy that it doesn't have any awareness.
It is very much like it's like an 11-year-old boy's dream game. Like you get to play as this badass guy with muscles who every woman wants to have sex with, and you get to piss constantly and get drunk.
You get to have sex with the women and also kill them.
And also kill them, yeah, later kill them. By the way, so you can drink beer in this game and get beer goggles, which makes you less vulnerable, right? Or harder to hit. I forget exactly what it does.
To resist damage.
Resist damage.
The way it was point. Yeah. Resist it.
So you take less damage with the beer goggles, but you just drink one beer and then he's just like
and
drunk.
He's faded.
He's fucked up. So Duke Nukem 3D, this ultimate badass who's the most famous man in the world, gets drunk off of one beer and comes in like 20 seconds.
He also has a fancy bar with only three different kinds of alcohol,
right?
But like hundreds of bottles.
Right. Oh, by the way, speaking of illicit substances, there's a cigarette machine that you pointed out, Heather, this detail to me that I didn't pick up
this
on.
This is fucked. So you go up to a cigarette machine and I'm like, oh, cool. You can put it. You can pull the thing and get cigarettes out. And one of the cigarettes is just called Fags. And it's got a picture of a leather daddy.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
This came out in 2011.
And we were only in Obama's first term. We're still figuring stuff out.
You can also you can take steroids.
Yes. Yes.
In the game.
Right.
But they aren't. It's not cool. Like if I'm gonna take steroids in a game and then punch something, that thing should explode in a new way.
Right. You'd want that to be an awesome sort of thing that's happening if you're gonna glorify that. But it's not really. It's not really any fun. So the Duke Dome is where you have the infamous boob wall, where it is like just like tits in a wall, like covered with like weird. What the fuck do you call that? The weird organic material. It's like an
slime?
Alien. Yeah. There's weird like sort of slime. and tendrils connecting it.
Ectoplasm?
Ectoplasm, yeah. And you can kind of, you can bat around the titties.
Ectoplasm is from ghosts.
Okay, it's not ectoplasm.
they bounce. I couldn't figure, they don't do anything, right?
No, it just gives you an ego boost.
And then they also make a sound. Like yes. the ship itself is like, oh my God, like that.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
It's fucking horrifying.
Man, I will say that if it was well rendered, the idea of like coming across one of those impregnated egg-filled alien women.
Yes.
Who are like built into a wall and they're like, there's so much to say. One of the women that you find who's full of alien eggs is like, Duke, just give me a week. I'll lose the weight and yes. then we can fuck.
It's horrifying. And then there's this alien queen boss you fight in this level who's just like she's a giant like alien woman, but she's got she's topless and she has three breasts and they're like exposed and jiggling and you shoot her a bunch of times. Duke says, "Damn, she makes me wish I had three guns." I guess so he can use a different one to shoot each chick.
Imagine having a writer's room for 12 years and you're just trying to beat that joke and you're like, there's no way to beat
it, man.
You can't
beat it, man.
No, that's locked in. And then it just keeps going. You go to the Hoover Dam, you got this monster truck driving sequence that sucks. And then you have to blow up the dam. There's this underwater level, which is one of the more annoying sequences in the game.
Yeah.
The president, you find out, I mean, this is super duper telegraphed, that the president's been working with the Cycloid Emperor the whole time. Of course. He's working with the aliens.
Well, because he told Duke to step down.
He told Duke to step down. Oh, also, by the way, I don't know if we touched on this, but when the president is saying telling Duke to step down, he's saying, we can't go in there guns blazing just assuming they have WMDs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is analogous to the Iraq War. Duke is the good guy just wanting to go in. It's like, we got to go in and kill everyone. And then the president is like urging caution. Like, we should make sure this thing is for real first. We're supposed to side with him.
So in the Duke Nukem universe, the Iraq War happened the way it happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah. and then they blow up the dam. Oh, and then the end of this game is. And Heather, fill in if there's any details I missed in here as I kind of sped through this. Yes, please.
I want to point out that this game has all the environments available to your imagination,
right.
And you spend most of the fucking game in construction sites, in like empty parking lots,
yes.
In featureless fucking hallways, and in ducts.
Even yeah. I mean, there's the dream sequence where you're just in a strip club.
Yeah,
and
but
there's
it's a fucking dream sequence.
I know.
Though. Like,
yeah.
Why not put it canonically in the game?
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't there just a little oasis he can go to and see some real boobs, not these dream boobs?
Like, why wouldn't you just like, you're fucking shooting everywhere, and
I know.
Then he's like, oh yeah, it's at strip joints, and then you just like go in. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. In his dream. Duke gets sucked off in a glory hole and it like raises his ego.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just like, this is fucking disgusting. I'm supposed to empathize with this guy, like using a fucking glory hole in a strip club bathroom. This is foul.
Also,
I'm trying to kink shame anyone.
You
but
have
Jesus.
To do like a fetch quest,
yes.
To get a lap dance.
Yeah, right. You have to get like popcorn and a vibrator and stuff.
And it cuts away before the lap dance.
Yeah. and then you get to the end of the game. The president gets killed. You have to kill the Cycloid Emperor. They nuke the Hoover Dam. Everyone thinks Duke is dead. And then Duke says, "What kind of shit ending is that? I ain't dead. I'm coming back for more." And then they roll the credits. So it's like, and then you get this, the post-credit sequence. By the way, this game loves the number 420 and the number 69, used all the time.
Of course it does.
Used liberally. the two funny numbers are used a lot. So there's this post-credit scene after the credits roll, and Duke says he's running for president. And if you see the order of succession, the previous president was the 68th, so he'd be the 69th president.
Yeah.
Also, considering this is from 2011,
yes.
And it's a blonde-haired dude who loves hot chicks,
right?
And he's got a casino, and he's also there's photos of him with a worldwide Reddit wrestling belt,
right.
On like his wall. Like, it's clearly Trumpian.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Duke Nukem Forever predicted Trump being president
right,
yeah. is fucking crazy. Yeah. It's the craziest part of the game is that he, at the end, is like, right. I'm going to run for president.
Yeah. I mean, he is what Donald Trump thinks he looks like. He definitely is.
Donald Trump looks in a mirror and sees Duke Nukem and says, damn, I'm looking good.
Taste my ball. I'm going to piss for a long time.
Trump probably does piss for a long time, but it's a prostate issue.
It's probably
very thick. Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about the multiplayer mode real quick. I didn't mess around with this. I watched a little bit of footage of it.
Oh, there's not a lot of people still playing.
Yeah, there's surprisingly not much of a player base. For Duke Nukem Forever in 2018. One of the modes is Capture the Babe, which is capture the flag, but you grab a woman, put her over your shoulder.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so and then, far so good.
And then slap her ass a bunch.
Oh, God.
So that's how that works.
Jesus.
Duke's canceled.
Yeah. Do you guys think that it's better? So I don't know. What is it better or worse when it's that overt? Because I feel like it's almost better than if it's like, thank you so much. I'm in your debt forever. And it's like a sweetheart. Mm. And you're like, oh, you're a trophy woman.
Right.
Whereas if it's literally like, get on my shoulder. I'm going to slap your ass while I run. Like, that feels like less problematic because it feels genre specific.
Right. I get what you're saying.
Exploitation.
Yeah, but what's the genre?
Horny. Bad game. And then, wait, this was another thing you pointed out, Heather. So in the multiplayer mode, you can upgrade your apartment.
Oh, this is fucked.
Duke's Digs. And this apartment, it basically, as far as you can upgrade the apartments goes, you just get more, you get different women of different ethnicities.
And furniture.
And furniture, yeah.
Yeah, so, oh boy. So this is...
We'll play a little bit of this.
This is the sound of one of the women that you can collect and put
into
your house.
Okay. This is like R. Kelly mode.
Got some pork for my little sweet and sour.
Oh, no.
You have big romping back pocket. I give you big romping front pocket.
Oh, God.
She's got cat ears.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
Yeah.
Duke, you want acupuncture? First I stick a you, then maybe you stick a me.
It's worse. Oh no.
It gets worse.
Okay.
I promise I'm not too buku for you, baby.
Mr. Duke-san, I give you shiatsu massage now.
All right, worse.
Sounds nice.
If you supply the dancing, I'll supply the pole.
I have a hungry. You have a big egg roll for me, Duke?
Duke?
Time to up the ante and feed the kitty.
Who wants some Wang? Not me. I want some Duke.
Here's the thing. She's wearing cat ears.
Right.
They didn't have to make her this this heavily accented Asian stereotype, pan-Asian stereotype. No specific Asian ethnicity given there.
She says san, though, so it's got to be a Japanese girl.
She's
Japanese.
But she's also referencing egg rolls, which is a Chinese dish.
Yeah, but they have egg rolls in
Japan. I mean, you can get them there, yeah. To me, it's just like it's sort of... I don't think it's as dialed in as being.
It's not as accurate as it should have been more accurate.
No, but what I'm my issue is like they could have just done a bunch of cat puns. It could have just been a bunch of. There's so many sexual things you could.
That's for fucking you, dude.
Yeah, man. What are you talking? You'd be fired from the writer's room immediately.
Oh man, I wish they'd had like animal puns while I was trying to jerk off.
None of the girls were minions.
That would have made it more fun. And that's basically all it is. You upgrade this apartment, and you have women who are in there who you can talk to, and they deliver like 3 one-liners apiece.
And I do think, because when I first looked at the game, I got a little confused because I didn't know if it had a connection to G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Because Duke Nukem looks like Duke from G.I. Joe.
Right, he really does. It's not. No, I think it's just like he's Duke from G.I. Joe. He's Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China. He's Ash from Army of Darkness. He's like Arnold, like from all the every Schwarzenegger movie, just kind of crammed together.
Holy shit, we just pulled up photos of Duke from G.I. Joe and he looks exactly like Duke from G.I. Joe.
He looks a lot like him.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of.
I mean, he's not wearing a tank top, but you know, it's he basically looks like. But Duke's a nice guy. Duke would never do these things.
No, he's not. He's not lewd and lascivious. Yeah, and the game just is a bunch of IP theft. And that's pretty much all there is to it. I mean, a game that took 15 years to develop, it's something that you get tired of in about 15 minutes. But it's time for our thoughts. It's time for the review crew. So we're each going to go around, say something positive, and give this game a numerical decimal rating. One positive thing that we can think of, as difficult as it may be, and I'll say this. The load times in this game are very, very, very long, and you spend a lot of time looking at the loading screens.
However,
I love this sort of backhanded compliment.
There are little jokes at the bottom that are most of the loading screen that you can look at and study and memorize. And most of them are bad. But one I liked, which was if you get stuck, you can cheat by finding a guide on the internet. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
You thought that was a good joke?
I thought it was the best joke I saw in the game. I like that it said you could cheat by looking at a guide.
I like the one that was like, if you fall from a ledge and die, it was probably your fault.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's fun too. Yeah. So I'm going to give this, let's see, I'll give this a 1.0 divided by, let me bust out my calculator app. I should be able to do this fraction, but I'm not trusting my brain right now. 1.0 divided by 15 years of development. That's a 0.06 repeating. That's my score. Wow. Heather, go ahead.
Let's see. There's nothing. Like, you can pick up a poop and throw it, and it doesn't do anything. And I appreciate that somebody somewhere was like, oh, you should be able to pick up that poop. And then somebody else was like, okay. And it's like, what should you do with it? Should it damage the alien? No. Just, you should be able to throw it. And they went, yes. And then they programmed a poop that you can pick up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's good to look at a jiggling titty. That's nice, too.
Sure.
And if there's three of them, even better.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it a 1.0 divided by three.
Okay.
What is that?
That's just a 0.33.
Yeah.
0.3 repeating.
0.3.
Okay. Matt Apodaca.
The game is bad. I had a bad time playing it. It made me nauseous to play because I don't do well with first-person shooters either.
Yes.
But this is the funniest thing that I've ever heard.
Have a taste of my ball.
So on that, I'll give it a solid one. No division.
Wow. 1.0 even.
All right.
Colton Dunn, something positive, your score.
Yeah. You know what? Something positive about this game. I think it is good that as a culture, we have examples of what not to do and where we don't want to go back to. I think there's nothing positive about this game. I think it's a sexist game that is not good and makes it hard for people who want to be in video game culture to spread it to other people. So it's a bad, bad game. Shitty character. I did have fun peeing in the toilet. and as we talked about earlier, like introducing someday my daughter to video games, I hope she never sees this game unless it's part of a lesson of what not to do. I give this a 1.0 divided by 69, which is 0.01449275.
Wow. Okay. This game was very, very poorly received by us, but not by everybody, because Heather, maybe we're wrong.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong, Nick. Maybe we were wrong. There are some positive reviews of Duke Nukem, even though it's rotten on Rotten Tomatoes and like less than 50% on Metacritic.
It's like 40 something, yeah.
It fucking sucks.
But yeah. What does it say on Reddit?
But I have a quote here from Holy Wraith from 7 years ago on a forum. I'm a little late, but I saw Duke Nukem Forever Balls of Steel for sale at the game store and I gave in and bought it. I started playing. So far, I really like this game. The only bad thing I see is the long loading times. The humor goes really well with the action. I can't wait to try it online. So from now on, I will never trust another game review or read hate threads again.
Wow. I would love to check in with that guy. See if he held that old whole hate thread.
He underneath one of the replies is, I agree it's a good game. People that rate it horrible are jaded, spoiled little bitches.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this guy learned the lesson of the game.
This is a user review on Metacritic from JD Nader. I really enjoyed it. Isn't that what it's all about? Probably not these days. There's plenty to enjoy, like the small and simple distractions that break up the game nicely and prevent it from being just another mindless shooter. Yeah, okay, the graphics suck big time. Big time, all caps. Hence the 9. But just as I enjoyed things like Portal Crisis and COD, I enjoyed this too. I look forward to the sequel. To all the haters, not the ones who gave it a fair shot and honestly don't like it, if I wanted to listen to an asshole, I would have farted. Duke quote, haha, 9 out of 10.
Okay, can I just point out that?
Yes.
It lost 1 point for shitty graphics in a video game.
That's the only strike against it as far as JD Nader is concerned.
50% of what it's called. It's a video game. And the video is shitty.
And this game, it really looks bad. I don't think we quite dwelled on that enough. I mean, it looked dated for its time, which was one thing, but it's just like, it's just ugly. The like Duke Nukem 3D was like colorful. Even the platformers were like colorful and like fun and the world felt alive. This is just so drab and bland and gray and brown.
One of the games you said that came out when Duke Nukem Forever came out was Batman Arkham City. And that, like, those Arkham games look incredible.
Yeah.
They're so well built and they're obviously a darker palette as well. But like compared to Duke Nukem, that thing looks like the... Dude. Freaking Mona Lisa.
Skyrim.
Oh, yeah. Skyrim, yeah.
Come on.
These are games with great aesthetic, great art direction. This one, unfortunately, doesn't have it. Heather?
All right. This is from a forum. This is a real post.
Oh, boy.
So allow me to weigh in as someone who's beaten the game. First off, it's funny. I say this without self-consciousness, since what's essential to understanding the humor here is being clued into the fact that Duke, far from being the irreverent philanderer whose cult of personality has entranced even his own designers prescribed by Jim Sterling, is actually more of a postmodernist, this is Spinal Tap style joke, something most critics, hilariously, not to mention characteristically, ignored in their heady game of one-upsmanship to determine who could most obnoxiously trumpet the fact that they were above such bawdy humor.
Mm.
That's a post that is many pages long.
Oh my God. This is filling up your phone screen.
Many pages long.
Jesus Christ.
Very long.
By 4-point text.
By the poster Ezra Pound, which is a reference to the 1920s poet from Paris?
Who I believe was a fascist as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
This guy seems cool. This guy is now in the cabinet of the...
I like this one from... This is an Amazon review from Art Ferguson. The title is Love This Game, and here's the full review. I like 5 stars. I should note, like has 3 E's. So I don't know.
Likey.
Hey, it's time for the question block.
Okay, so this question is from Instagram. It's from Cascander. If you had to eat at a Duke Nukem Forever themed restaurant bar, what dishes, drinks would you likely see there?
I mean, you got to have some sort of pulled pork sandwich that's called like the pig cop, like special or something like that, right?
Beer.
Beer, yeah, definitely have some beer.
A very tall glass of yellow liquid.
Hot lemonade.
Just trough urinals in the men's room. And see everyone piss. Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I mean, the freeze gun is a big thing. Some sort of fun frozen drink or something, I'm sure, could be an element. Oh, you know what? Really tiny. I bet you get like tiny sliders, like shrunken sliders.
Mm-hmm. Shrunk.
He also eats like bags of chips or popcorn, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
so like some of that shit.
Yeah, you can boost your, this is the thing, like you can boost your ego by like playing an entire game of pool and like, which is like really a pain in the ass because the physics are really annoying. Or you can just make a bag of microwave popcorn and that does that has the same effect.
Yeah, there's no like why is one thing boosting your ego.
I want to say, as somebody who went to the Dragon Quest themed bar in Tokyo and had to wait in line multiple nights in order to get in.
Yeah.
And it was packed. That the Duke Nukem Forever themed restaurant bar would be completely empty. Also, the Dragon Quest bar sucks.
Oh, no. This next question is from Beardy McWhisker. Which is worse, bad gameplay or unwatchable story? This game had both.
This had both.
Yeah.
I mean, bad gameplay is the worst because... You know, unwatchable story. Okay, I could check out. I could do something else. If the gameplay is cool, then I don't really care about the unwatchable story.
Final Fantasy games have great gameplay and terrible stories.
Take that back. Take that back.
You just skip the. I mean, I don't.
No.
Yeah.
But like, none of that shit makes sense.
I think this might actually Devil May Cry fan, and so maybe mad at me, but like Devil May Cry 1, I remember, just has like really bad like the cutscenes are just they're super overwrought. I don't think the voice acting is very good, but the gameplay is like pretty tight and fun, and certainly in the sequels it's even better. So yeah, I mean, oh, you know what, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is a good example. The voice acting at the start of in the cutscenes in Castlevania Symphony of the Night is so bad, but that game is so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for sure, you want great gameplay triumphs over all else.
Nice.
We have a consensus.
Oh, I want to answer the next one.
Okay, yes. So this is from at Papa Fink. What was or is your personal longest awaited game sequel?
Last of Us 2.
Ooh,
which is now, I think, 7 years, 6 years?
Yeah, that's been
It's 5 years since the launch of Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be at least 6 years since the game came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I've heard it's really good, guys.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I fucking heard that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, honestly, I think I'm thinking of it in little kid terms, because for me, I think it was Super Mario Brothers 2, because learning that they were making Super Mario Brothers 2 and just the anticipation for it didn't take that long for them to, you know, reskin Doki Doki Panic and release it in the States. But I was like, I was so excited about that game and I could not believe how long it was taking for it to eventually come out. And then when I eventually got it, it was just like so like exciting for me. So, yeah, I think it was just like the passage of time for an 8-year-old was what that was. Colton, do you have an answer? Any long-awaited sequels for you?
Destiny 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did that deliver on your expectations?
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was great. You know, and it showed up right on time, right when I was really done with Destiny 1, and it continues to expand and do well.
Right.
Oh, I've got one more.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Versus, which became Final Fantasy 15, was announced in 2007 and came out in 2017.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I cut my hair like Noctis in 2007 and had forgotten that I did it.
Mine was Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, right.
That took a long time.
That took your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm like twice as old as I was when Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And boy, Kingdom Hearts 2 is so good.
It's great.
It's a near perfect video game. And then Kingdom Hearts 3 certainly is out.
Love to tackle that at some point.
Yeah.
What else you got, man?
Let's see. Who would you cast as Duke in a Duke movie?
That's from Shampoodler.
At Shampoodler.
You can't shampoo a Shampoodler.
I mean, it so clearly is like Kurt Russell. Like, I guess like a younger Kurt Russell. Nowadays, I'm not sure what you'd do with it. You know what you'd have to do? I think you'd have to cast like you'd have to make it self-aware in order for this movie to work now. Mm-hmm. It would have to be kind of an Austin Powers fish out of water sort of take, where people were like, oh, like Duke had someone pointing out, they're like, hey man, that's not cool anymore, you know?
I would make his hair blonde and I'd cast De Niro and have it set during the twilight of Duke's life. and have it be like super serious for
right.
Unnecessarily serious.
Yes.
Where a guy like considers that he had everything and nothing ever gave him joy.
Yeah.
Because Duke never says the word love in this game.
Wow. I would cast Alan Ritchson.
Oh, Jesus. Whoa. Yeah, that's him.
That's a jacked guy.
Wow. Yeah, he looks great.
Alan Ritchson from Blue Mountain State.
That's, oh, there you go.
And Laser dude. Team.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Which also has a big fight scene in a stadium.
Ooh, hey. Wow. How about that? And hey, I guess we might as well get into your plugs at this point, Colton. Laser Team. Oh, thank you for joining us. What else would you like to promote at this time?
Oh, you know what? I just think everybody, if you check out Jam Space, check out Voyage to the Stars, and if you like watching television, you can check out Superstore coming out this fall, Thursdays at 8 p.m. on NBC.
Nice.
Very, very cool. Heather, I guess we're,
Damn, that was a pretty good episode. Only thing for me to do now is go take a big piss, then pull some shit out of that toilet.
I'm gonna cut off my dick and look at it.
Matt, what's next week's game?
Next week's game is the fourth entry in the Mass Effect series, Mass Effect Andromeda. Suck my...